And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you, Brother Don. If you have your Bible, turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 2. Then if you'll take your bulletin, we're going to read the text this morning, our responsive reading. Did you think you were going to get out of it? I don't know, Baptist breath. We're going to do it. Our reading is found in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading at verse 8 and read responsively through verse 20. And would you please stand with me to honor the reading of God's inerrant, infallible word. The Bible says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were filled with great fear. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. It is the word of God, and it is certainly true. You may be seated. Perhaps you have seen on television or on the internet what is called a flash mob. And this happens especially this time of year. You have people in malls or various places, and all of a sudden people just start singing a Christmas carol of some kind. I saw one the other day. It was on a subway in New York. I thought they'll all get mugged. But anyway, one of my favorites is at the Smithsonian, and it involves the United States Air Force Orchestra and Choir. And there are people all over this huge building, and all of a sudden here comes a young woman, and she's playing a clarinet, and she's playing O Come Emmanuel, and then people join in, and then there's choirs, and then they just sing several songs, and it's really an amazing thing. And you know, as great as that flash mob was, it reminded me of the ultimate Christmas flash mob. And that took place outside of Bethlehem. And it is described for us in the text that we just read. Now, let me clear something up for you. This angelic flash mob didn't just surprise these unsuspecting shepherds. It absolutely terrified them. This part of the Christmas story is so common that I think it loses its effect. This is a passage about terror, about fear. This is a startling passage. I mean, in verse 8, you see these shepherds out in the field, in the dark, under the stars, doing what they did, watching over their flocks. They're perfectly calm and they're peaceful. And suddenly, out of nowhere, an angel of the Lord appears. And brightness like the noonday sun, and the glory of God is all around them. And the light of that glory, blinding, terrifying, startling, comes on them. And they were terrified. They were filled with great fear. Our text tells us that. In the familiar, the King James Version of this text, there is a phrase that sounds almost sentimental. It says, they were sore afraid. But in the Greek, the word for fear is phobos. And literally, it says, they were phobos. In other words, if you translated it literally, the text says, when the glory of the Lord came upon them, they feared with a great fear. It wasn't soothing. It was startling. It was terrifying. And the angel knows that because the first thing the angel says is what? Fear not. Fear not. The angel knows what's going on in their hearts, their minds. And so he says, fear not, for behold, listen, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. Good news is euangelion, the gospel. That's the good news. Here is good news. God has come to earth. The angel is saying, I know you're afraid. You're human, and all human beings are afraid when they come in under the blinding light of God's truth. But you don't have to be afraid, for behold, what I'm about to tell you is good news. The gospel brings joy. And when the gospel comes, though it first makes you afraid, then it soothes your fears. So I want to think about that this morning. I want to think about what the gospel does, the good news of Christmas. The first thing the gospel does is it exposes our fears. That's exactly what's happening here with these shepherds. They're in the dark, they're minding their own business, and all of a sudden, boom! Here's all this light and all this noise and all of these angels, and they are terrified. And men are terrified when they come into the light of God, because God's truth exposes our fears. This story of the shepherds in the field outside Bethlehem is really an echo of Genesis chapter 3, the story of Adam and Eve. You remember when they were created as the first human beings, they walked with God, we're told, in the cool of the day. In fact, they loved the glory of God, and they loved fellowship with God and talking and walking with Him, because the light of God's glory was beauty and glory and life to them itself. And then one day they decided to be their own masters. They decided they were the captain of their own fate. They would make their own decisions, call their own shots, as it were. And so they decided that they would disobey God. They'd break the one commandment that they had. And when they did, everything changed. That day, when the glory of God was manifested, what did they do? They ran. I mean, they hit the dirt. And God said, why are you hiding? What did Adam say? Because I was afraid. Adam, why are you hiding? I'm afraid. Adam, why are you covered with the fig leaves? Because I was afraid, full of fear, so I covered myself. When sin entered the world, so did fear. Fear is a part of our sinful nature, that nature that has been passed down to all men. We're afraid of the light. We're afraid of the truth. We're afraid of God. We're ruled by fear. The longer, I told you this a couple of weeks ago, but the older I've gotten, the more I do not believe in atheists. You know, atheists don't believe in God. I don't believe in atheists, okay? I don't believe that there are people who actually intellectually cannot believe in God. They just don't want to do what God says. It's a moral unbelief, not intellectual. They just don't like the idea of a God who is sovereign, a God who is omniscient, who knows everything about them, a God who will not change, a God who will not excuse their sin or look over it. They're just not going to do that. Why? Makes them afraid. Because it stands to reason that you're someday going to have to face that God. Someday you're going to have to give an accounting of yourselves. And so men try to cover themselves, wrap themselves in things that make them feel safe and give them security. And it's pretty much anything but God. anything that makes us feel safe. We say, well, I'm safe because I've got a good job. I'm safe because I have friends. I'm safe because I have a family that loves me. I'm safe because I have good looks. More true of some than others. I'm safe because I have great talent. Or I'm safe because I have a lot of money. The reason that we live in fear is because though we tell ourselves that we're wrapping ourselves in these fig leaves, these rags as it were, and they will keep us safe, we know deep down that they will not. You know that you can lose a job, might not always be there. We know that family members die. We know that looks and status and fame and money all pass away. We know all of that, and we hate it. We hate it when someone comes and points it out to us, because we have safety in these things. There's comfort in the dark, and we don't want anybody to come along and tell us how weak and how frail and how temporary our security really is. You remember what John said when we started in the Gospel of John? That's been a couple of weeks ago anyway. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Speaking of Jesus. Then he said down in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Then on in chapter 3, verse 20, he says, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. The bottom line is, God is light, God is truth, and when we get near him, it shatters our self-image, shatters our security. When we get near God and we hear his truth that talks about holiness and talks about our sin, and the fact that sin separates us from God, and that the wages of sin is eternal death, it shows us how weak the things that we've been building our lives upon really are. The gospel exposes our fears. Jesus exposes our frailties, our fears, our failures. And I want you to hear this morning. That is the greatest thing that can ever happen to a person. When your life comes crashing down, when you're overcome with fear, when you see that really you don't have any control over your life at all, when you are sore afraid. As a matter of fact, I would say you have not grasped the meaning of Christmas at all unless you understand that truth. The gospel exposes our fears. We sing things sometime without even thinking about it. What did John Newton say in his great hymn? 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Grace taught my heart to fear. The gospel exposes our fears. That's the first thing it does. It makes you scared. When God wanted to bring the good news of Christmas to the shepherds, he made them frightened. And there was amazing grace in doing so. Unless you see your frailty, unless you see your inadequacy, unless you see that you're a sinner, unless you see that's a lie you've been living under all of these years, and you really don't have it all together, you're really not in charge, you're really not the master of your own destiny, the captain of your own fate, unless you see that, you will never have your fears relieved. You'll never really understand the glory of Christmas. And here's why. Because the gospel doesn't just expose our fears, the gospel answers our fears. That's the good news. The angel said, fear not, for behold. Behold what? The gospel. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. What is the solution to the fear that we have of God? Fear of his holiness, fear of his sovereignty. What is the solution? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior has been born. The message of Christmas is that God took on flesh. God became a man. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that though he was God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. And being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You see, Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. He lived a perfect life. You remember when they asked Jesus, what is the first and the greatest commandment? What did he say? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Not one of us have ever done that 1 minute of our lives. Not one of us. And if you think you have, you don't have a clue. Do you mean in your sinfulness, in your wretchedness, in your depravity, you think that you've loved God perfectly? Even for a minute? Even for 1 second? But Jesus loved God perfectly every moment of his existence. And he did it on your behalf. That's why salvation is not based on our good works. It's not based on whether we try enough or whether we've done enough in the world. Our salvation is based on a Savior who lived a perfect life on our behalf. And where you and I fail miserably all the time, Jesus never failed. He was born for this purpose. He was born a Savior. He didn't become a Savior. He was born a Savior. He is a Savior. In fact, Luke says he is Christ the Lord. He not only lived a perfect life for us so that all of his righteousness could be imputed to us and we could be declared righteous in the sight of a holy God, but he also died in our place, taking the punishment that our sins deserve. Because we have not loved God with all of our heart, with all of our souls, with all of our mind and all of our strength, we deserve eternal condemnation. But Christ died in our place. He first did the good deeds that we needed to do so that we could receive him, and then he died in our place so that if we believe on him, repent of sin, put our trust in him, that perfect righteousness is imputed to us. And that substitutionary death that he died is counted for us. And God receives us. God accepts us. There's a lot of bad terminology in the evangelical world. Have you accepted Jesus? Don't worry about doing that. Worry about whether or not he accepts you. Have you received him? That's a little better. You know, see, God accepts me because of Jesus Christ. It is only because of his perfect work and his substitutionary death. See, Newton had it right. See, he wrote, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. And what? And grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. So we don't have to be afraid anymore. We can come out of the darkness. You don't have to be afraid of the light. John 1:5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the darkness will never overcome it if you come to Christ. You don't have to try to cover your sins anymore. God has made provision. God knows the filth that's in your heart. God knows everything that you've ever done, and yet he still loves you. That's why there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Receive Jesus Christ and receive full pardon, full forgiveness of sin. Again, what did John say in the prologue? To as many as received him, to them He gave the power to become the children of God. Believe on Him. You don't have to fear whether or not you measure up in God's eyes. You don't have to worry whether or not you've done enough to please Him. Listen, if you had 10,000 lives, you couldn't do enough to please Him, because you could never be perfect. You weren't born that way. You don't live that way. But here's the truth of Christianity. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. If you believe on Jesus Christ this morning, you are perfect in Christ. Positionally, you are perfect. He has declared you righteous. And you stand before a holy God clothed in the righteousness of Him who never sinned. And you don't have to run from God. You don't have to be afraid. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. You've been given a Savior. Believe on Him and be saved. Hopefully, you can see why God chose that angelic flash mob on the first Christmas to announce this message. Luke 13 and 14 of chapter 2 says, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased.'" Can you imagine the scene? The glory of God, brighter than the noonday sun, filling the skies of Bethlehem. Those terrifying, holy, angelic beings announcing there is peace on earth. Peace for all with whom God is pleased. Peace for those who believe. Highly unlikely there'll be any angelic flash mobs this morning to convince you of the truth of Christmas, of the gospel, if you haven't believed. And when the next angelic flesh mob shows up, it'll be too late to believe. But the power of the message is still being felt today. The light is still shining. The door is still open. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and He is the door. And now you have opportunity to respond. If you want peace on earth, you must give Him glory today. If you want rid of your fears, then you need to behold the fact that a Savior has been born to you. Born to give you second birth. Someone whom the hopes and fears of all the years are met in. Jesus Christ. Give yourself to Him. Come into His joy. That is the message of Christmas. That is what Christmas is all about. That is the beauty of Christmas. I love Christmas. Not because of the lights and the poinsettias and the tree. I love that too. Don't get me wrong. I like that as well as anybody. But I love the fact that God became a man. God became a man so that He could live that perfect life and die that death so that I could have life, so that I could have the forgiveness of sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Let's pray. Our Father and our God,